Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, I'm Jocelyn McClung, and this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Well, I hope everybody's having a lovely, joyful spring. I'm very excited about today's show. I'm going to be talking in the inspiration segment about why a smiling face is an inspiration. And in the spiritual homework segment, I'm going to be hitting another component necessary to self-love. Self-gratitude. Now, I've talked about self-appreciation earlier around self-love, but self-gratitude is slightly different. And hopefully this segment will explain it and help you move more into it, being grateful for who you are. But first, we are going to be speaking with the author, Micah Starr, who recently wrote a book entitled Journey into Peace, A Language for Peace, Progress, and Healing. Now, I have not read this book, but I'm doing the interview because I have a lot of questions I want to ask him. I don't normally do interviews when I haven't read the book, but since he's doing Language of Peace, I decided to do this interview. Now, in the book, he advocates that many of the words we use today in our everyday language have woven within them self-fulfilling prophecies. That's one question I want to ask him. These words can have a spiral up and prosper, or spiral down and suffer, or just go around and around doing nothing. He states that useless words and dangerous, tyrannical words limit our ability to have healthy relationships and clarity for making wise decisions. Mike is an avid adventurer and a seasoned expert problem solver. He managed a successful manufacturing business, and now he's a life coach. And he actually was a former nuclear-trained submarine officer. At one point, he canoed 54 days from Pittsburgh to New Orleans. He is definitely an adventurer. Welcome, Mike.
Welcome, and I'm pleased to be here. Thank you.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be with you because I love what you're doing, Language of Peace and Prosperity. First of all, I'm going to ask you the question I ask everybody. Where were you born, and what did you dream of becoming when you grew up?
I was born just a little bit downstream of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so essentially in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a long time ago. I think my dream was really not so much of a destination, but strangely enough, it's been about seeing that destination and journey. You're kind of
when you were six, you didn't have a dream to be something when you were six or seven?
I think I had a dream to be better. I wanted to be better, and I think that was kind of what I leaned toward, and that's kind of been sort of the philosophy of my life. How can I get better tomorrow than I am today?
Well, you were quite a wise old soul as a seven-year-old. Okay. Well,
I
Mike,
was.
Let me ask...
I have an interesting story about Halloween that maybe reflects that.
All right, go ahead.
I was fairly young at the time, I think 11 or 12 years old, and I had just finished trick-or-treating, which was like the pinnacle of fun times for me during the year. And I remember going to bed after sorting my candy. I always loved the Snickers, and I put them aside. And I liked the, you know, kind of Hershey bars, certain other candies I wasn't too keen on. And I was so delighted, and I was so excited. I was just so full of joy and happiness. And then I went to bed, and I thought about the fact that I knew that someday I would not want to go trick-or-treating. And I started to cry in bed, like, oh, my goodness, this is going to happen to me someday. So I guess in some ways I was a bit wise and in some ways a little different.
I think definitely if you were dreaming of being better when you were seven and crying over giving up trick-or-treating, I think you were definitely an old soul in a young body. Well, let me ask you this. What were your parents like and what did they do for a living?
My father, born in 1910, and they're both Ukrainian. My dad was born in the United States. My mother was born in a western part of Ukraine in Europe. He worked in a manufacturing organization as a machine operator. He actually was one of the people to land on Normandy Beach on D-Day. He was
wow.
a medic. And as he grew up, when he was very young, his father passed away during the great Spanish flu epidemic back in the early 1900s. And so he grew up with four sisters and a mother living in a small duplex home, and his mother had to take in boarders just so that they could survive. My mother, she was born in the western region of Ukraine, which at that time had been part of Poland, and she had to face the fact that the communists were invading Ukraine Hitler and Stalin made this agreement where they would split Poland, and part of where my mother was in that part of Poland. So long story short, she had to eventually flee her homeland because of the, I guess, the atrocities that the communists mm-hmm. had perpetrated when they were there before in terms of people who had been killed and murdered, mass murdered, etc. So she was a refugee and ended up in a Nazi factory camp. Freed at the end of the war. My dad moved on through Normandy and through the Battle of the Bulge and through Europe, and they eventually joined, met each other in Germany. And there was a large contingency of Ukrainians there. And my dad, being Ukrainian and speaking Ukrainian fluently, he worked with the army, and the Allies to try to, you know, interpret, because they were kind of inclined to send the Ukrainians back to the Soviet-occupied Ukraine, and they're like, no, we don't want to do that. So he helped relocate many of them to the United States and Argentina and a few other countries and not go back to a place where they would be oppressed.
What a good father you had standing up for the Ukrainians. I know this must be breaking your heart, what's going on right now with Ukraine. We won't discuss that now because we could do a whole hour on that. But what was it like having immigrant parents? Did they teach you anything differently?
Well, my mother, being the immigrant, she was very, mindful and vocal about the gratitude. You spoke earlier about gratitude and self-love, and I have an interesting kind of slice on self-love if we have the time and inclination later. But my mother was like, hey, I grew up at a place where if you owned a Bible and they found out, you would be gone in the middle of the night. And so she was so appreciative that there was freedom of religion. She was also appreciative that she had freedom of speech, that she could speak her mind and say what she had to say. She grew up in a time, in an era there with the Soviets, that if you dared speak out against the political powers to be, you would end up either in Siberia or in prison or just missing in the middle of the night, never to be seen again. So I think she left me with this whole sense of gratitude of, you know, really appreciate.
And freedom of
basics.
Speech, which goes into your book, which is language, which I think is interesting, because you said she loved freedom of speech, and your whole book is about language. Well, let me ask you this. How did you become really, we got to move a little bit closer to the book, but how did you become a nuclear-trained submarine officer, Mike?
I was going to college in Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, where I got my degree in electrical engineering, and at the time, there was something called the draft. And
oh,
they
I
were drafting.
That, yes.
Yeah, were they drafting young men to go into the military because that was the time of the Vietnam War. Well, in the very last month of the draft, which was December of 1972, I had graduated from Carnegie Mellon, and my draft number was quite low. They had a sort of a random number they picked for your birthday. Mine was 73. So, long story short, I was drafted. I took a program where 6 month delay before I went into the Army and did a Jack Kerouac thing between the United States, Mexico, and Guatemala. I chose to join the Navy, which was an alternative to the Army. And I was enlisted for a year. While enlisted, I applied for the nuclear power program because I had a degree in electrical engineering, and I got to interview with Admiral Rickover, who helped, design and coordinate the project, the first nuclear submarine, the Nautilus.
Well, that sort of explains why you're an adventurer, because you were I think it takes a brave person to go on a submarine. I don't have claustrophobia, but I think I would if I was on a submarine. But I love to swim. I just don't sure I care about being in those tight quarters. But I know you're an avid adventurer. We're going to talk a little bit at the end of the show about that. But let me ask you, what caused you, what made you write this book to begin with? What impacted you enough to write this book?
There was a period of time in my life, I'd say about 25 years ago, where I was facing some pretty significant family crises. And compounded to that were some very challenging professional things I was dealing with in the workplace. And I've always been sort of preoccupied to look for the better and try to learn from my experiences. And I began a quest and says I've got to find a way to help other people suffer less, have less conflict, have more hope, and really be able to get along with one another and resolve issues. So that's where it began, and that journey took me into Al-Anon, which is an organization for alcoholic families, to NAMI, which is a National Alliance of Mental Illness. It took me into Landmark Education. It took me into Dale Carnegie classes. It took me into the quality circles in lean management. So there's this ongoing effort and pursuit of being better with the intent of helping others find a simple way or a better way to have less bad and more good. And the answer I found, surprisingly enough, was that our common everyday language has embedded within it self-fulfilling prophecies that could either cause us to prosper or
I want to talk about those self-fulfilling prophecies. Give us an example of a negative self-fulfilling prophecy in language.
Well, I have two rescue dogs. We have two rescue dogs, Rippy and Lola. Rippy is a Chihuahua, and this is a story that exemplifies that. And from the onset of adopting Rippy, I noticed that he was, I labeled him unfriendly in the first couple of weeks. I says to my wife, "This is the most unfriendly dog we've ever had." And I thought about that, especially as I was in the throes of writing my book, which has been going on for over 10 years in earnest. And I said, he's not unfriendly. Rippy is probably afraid or insecure, mm-hmm. or maybe just baked into his DNA. And by shifting my language and how I contextualized, how I saw, I perceived Rippy, instead of seeing him as unfriendly, I saw him as fearful and insecure. And that reminded me to be kind. That reminded me to be slow. And that reminded me to be gentle with him. And so there's a case by using one word versus another, it could impact on how you interact with someone else, or even how you interact with yourself, which is another story.
Well, did he change? Did he get friendlier?
Well,
less fearful?
I wouldn't say it was friendly or unfriendly. I would say he was less inclined to shy away. He was I would say what improved, and the change is a word that I'm not particularly fond of, but what improved was our interactions, our relationships. They were more, kind. They were more gentle. I would approach him with a soft voice and kindly and slowly, and he would approach me more easily. So I would say our relationship was enhanced because of this different use of language.
I would definitely say so. Well, I think that's fantastic. All right, so you had Ukrainian parents, freedom of speech, you fell into the language, thinking language is what we need to do. How do we deal with language when some of us are listening to lies being told on certain channels? How do you deal with that?
Well, what I'm about to say, I will apologize to you and your audience because it may be uncomfortable. But I think often in uncomfort is where our advances can occur. I think the important thing is improving our ability to see what is. I have a term, I've created some new terms, some new words because at some point in our evolution as a species, words were created, right? I mean, the word sharing didn't always exist, and many other words didn't always exist. And one of the terms that's foundational in my book and in my philosophy of betterism, seeking more good and less bad, is newt, the natural order of things. Seeing that, given the background of any particular individual or community or society or culture, that given their history, on an individual level, their parents, their birth order, their gender, their socioeconomic status, given all those factors, and I actually have something called Be the Archaeologist, which is on my executive coaching page I use for self-exorcism and trying to deal with a term that's useless, is forgiveness is, useless term. I think it begins with understanding that people and circumstances can't help being who they are and what they are. And so that leads to diffusing anger, resentment, hostility with people. And once we've kind of diffused all that, now we can set boundaries with consequences. I call them well-thought-out boundaries. It's something I call determined decisions, where you take time to decide what you're going to do. And dispassionate consequences, where I have a term of states of being, like be the umbrella opener. So when it's raining outside, just open up the umbrella. We don't need to get angry about it. We don't have to shake our fists at the clouds. We just open our umbrella. So I think when it comes to things that we believe are untrue, things that we think might be harmful, is we first recognize for what they are. Secondly, we have empathy for those who perpetrate them or say it or pass it on. And then we, one person at a time, speak what we believe is an empathetic and compassionate truth and set boundaries. And in some cases, we just choose not to interact with certain things. I have a person that I knew who his behavior was, I thought, very inappropriate, but I didn't get angry at him. I just stopped interacting with him. So maybe in some cases, we just stop listening to the news, maybe.
Okay. I was just curious how you deal with people who are falling for lies. Well, how important is open-mindedness in hearing what someone is saying?
Well, we need to define open-mindedness, but I think the intent here is very important. I think in the natural order of things, people can't help being who they are, and understanding, that things were destined. It was inevitable that a person became as it became and situations became as they became. And then I think that opens us up to learning. I have a couple chapters. One's called proactive learning, which is learning that's aspirational, learning on the level where we want to get better. And the other one is what I call evolutionary learning, which is learning through our experience. I have a term called learning experiences for growth legs. And I think if we are respectful, we listen to try to understand. One of the things that I find it remarkably helpful, delving into the arena of alcoholics and families of alcoholics and the families of the mentally ill, schizophrenic and bipolar, et cetera, I find it very helpful in looking and how important it can be to first self-care, but secondly, particularly in the mental health area, about listening. Listening effectively. I have a term called reflective listening, but relationship listening. Focus on relationship. We're listening not to teach. We're listening to enhance our relationship. you know, John Maxwell said, never let the
sin. I think you said that quite beautifully. Not to teach and not to shame or to get somebody to your side. You're just listening to what the person is saying with an open mind and an open heart. I think that's vital. I like what you say about open-mindedness. I think it's absolutely vital. We are speaking with author Mike Starr, who recently wrote a book entitled Journey into Peace, A Language for Peace, Progress, and Healing. We're going to get in a few more questions after this commercial, and you're listening to Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net, and I'm Joffrey McClung.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Hi, this is Joffrey McClung on Spiritual Common Sense. We are speaking with author Mike Starr, who wrote the book Journey into Peace, A Language for Peace, Progress, and Healing. What is ROT, Roads of Tyranny? Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's recognizing what I call dangerous or tyrannical language and avoiding that and not participating in that, like the word unfriendly we talked about, or terms like libtard or deplorable. And surprisingly and sadly enough, the one term that has become very dangerous is racist, where it's been overused and thus watering down the really serious situations that are occurring. So, and those take us in a negative way. You know, we need to be more like trying to understand why people are the way they are. Daryl Davis, he interacted with the Ku Klux Klan, a black R&B musician, and he chose to listen, be respectful toward them, not their philosophy. And as a result of interacting with them, listening to them, he converted over 200 KKK members who disavowed the KKK because he developed a relationship through relationship listening and effective listening.
I think that's brilliant. I remember a man who was part of the white supremacist group. He gave it up when the people he worked with, which were gay, they were so kind to him. He just could not be angry at them anymore. So I know exactly what you're saying on that. Well, how do we remove regrets or resentment? I think that's a big one.
That's a great question. And I think a lot of us have it haunt us. And I think it begins with, going back to my term of the natural order things, that people couldn't help becoming who they did. I could not be helped becoming who I did, became. And it's not through, I don't think forgiveness is a verb of action. I think it's through understanding that it was inevitable, given all the circumstances, the DNA, and all the experiences, that things became as they became. And then what's really important next, when it comes on an interpersonal level, and once again on your very important focus, which you focused on your book, The Heart of the Matter, is liking yourself. And how couldn't you like yourself if you are acting in contrast or in conflict with what you believe in your heart of hearts? So we need to, I have it called be like Moses and develop the 10 convictions. Know what you believe in. Take some time, a few months, to get really clear about your values and your convictions. Be clear about that. Live your life in alignment with that, because why do we sometimes not particularly like a person? We don't like a person sometimes because of their behavior. Well, I think the same goes for us. We may not like ourselves really subconsciously, and we have this cognitive dissonance going on because we don't like what we're doing. What we're doing is really not aligning what in our heart of hearts we believe.
Oh, I think you said that quite beautifully. I say it's we act out of pure pain and fear, and we have bad behavior, but it does not mean we're bad people. I think regrets, I have a friend who struggles with regrets, and I think it's just, I think it's one of his primary emotions, and I've told him this before, but I think regrets is a waste of time. Now, it doesn't mean I haven't had them, but I like the word forgiveness, so I disagree with you on that. But I was able to forgive myself because I realized the pain I was in when I did the bad behavior. I think that's imperative. Well, let me ask you this. Why is it important to make peace with what is? You kind of hit upon that, hit a little bit further on why it's important to make peace with what is. I think that's vital.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a kind of a science fiction fan, and there's this series called Star Trek: The Next Generation, with Jean-Luc Picard as the captain.
I know it vividly. Go right ahead. Keep talking.
And one of their great nemesis, if not their worst nemesis, were the Borg. And it was this group that traveled around in this giant cube and assimilated societies. And, but there was a term that the Borg used: resistance is futile. And I use it in my book. When it comes to reality, resistance is futile. If we don't embrace reality, you know, we talk about acceptance. There's a word I'm not too keen on, but what I am keen on is objective, empowering acceptance as opposed to resigned acceptance. If we can accept things and say, hey, there's a cliff over here. Hey, there's a wall over here. Hey, there's a rock over here. And if we can accept the reality as it is, we don't walk off the cliff. We don't beat our head against the wall. We walk around the rock. And it frees us to take the path of wisdom and progress without getting into the, you know, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and not getting better results. So, yeah, that's how we make progress in life, is we embrace reality, what is, not how we want it to be.
Well, I think that listening to relationships, we were talking about people who are listening to lies. I think if you listen to them gently and caringly and with an open heart and give your viewpoint gently, loving, and with an open heart, you can bring some of these people out of the lunacy that they seem to be stuck in. But let me ask you this. If readers come away with one idea from your book, which idea do you hope it is?
I would hope it would be, and I'm looking for champions to help me with this message. It would be this: improve your language, improve your thinking. Improve your thinking, improve your perceptions of the world around you. Improve your perceptions in an empowering way, and you will be in harmony with the world and empowered to find meaningful solutions and having more joy than you could have ever imagined to have experienced.
I think you said that quite beautifully. I do think language is vitally important. I know I've used words that were not as clear as they could have been. Maybe they caused some problems among friends, whatnot. But I think if you come from an open heart and you apologize, if you choose the wrong word, that can do a lot to heal relationships. I think saying I'm sorry is vitally important as well. That's one of my opinions. But, Mike, where can people follow you, read more about you, and get your book?
Well, my website is executivecoachingservices.net, executivecoachingservices.net, and I take on a handful of clients every few months. My book is on Amazon, both in Kindle and paperback, Journey into Peace by Michael M. Starr. And I'm hopeful that this message will resonate with some and that they will become advocates and champions to spread the word that if we improve our language, we can truly develop peace, progress, and healing for ourselves and others.
Well, I love the title of your book. We've been talking with Mike Starr, who recently wrote a book entitled Journey into Peace, A Language for Peace, Progress, and Healing. I think this is a good book. I have not read it, but I'm going to read it. I read the titles of the chapters. It looks quite interesting. I think anybody who wants to grow, to understand their language, to understand how to deal with people who think differently, feel differently, this would be an excellent book. Mike, thanks for joining us, and I wish you nothing but the best with this book.
Thank you, Joffrey. It's been an honor and a pleasure. I really thank you so much.
All right, this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Uplifting Talk. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, this is Joffrey McClung on Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. This month's inspiration is a smiling face. I will tell you why after you hear this story. A group of best friends decided to have their alumni get together, the residence of one of their favorite university professors. He'd been a mentor to many of them. They finalized to make a surprise visit to the professor. The planning was done. On a determined date, they visited the old professor's home. It was quite a happy moment for not only the professor, but for all the friends and students. everyone was trying to know the whereabouts of the developments in their friends' lives after leaving college. They shared with each other how they moved ahead in life. A few became good leaders, having senior positions in corporate world. A few were doing good in the business world. All of them got married and had children. There was a quality of conversation going on. But somehow, the conversation soon diverted to complaints about work, relationships, stress, and tension in life. The professor offered them coffee and went to the kitchen to ask his wife to prepare the coffee for all of his students. After 10 to 15 minutes, his beautiful wife came in with a pleasant smile. One thing was noticed, that she had brought coffee in different kinds of cups. Crystal cups, glass cups, ceramic cups, shining ones, some plain looking, some ordinary, some exquisite, and some expensive ones. The students thought that the professor might not have the same kind of cups due to the large number of guests, which is why his wife served the coffee in different cups. When all of them had a cup in their hand, the professor said, "If you notice, all the nice-looking and expensive cups are taken, leaving behind the ordinary, plain, and cheap ones." It was a surprising moment, as nobody noticed that there were some extra cups of coffee left over. While having their cups, nobody took the ordinary cups, and all of them were left on the serving tray. The professor continued, "Every one of you wanted the best cups. Well, it is, of course, normal for you to want only the best for yourselves, which can only be the source of much of your dissatisfaction, problems, stress, and tension in life." Now, all the friends got confused and were looking towards the professor. They could not understand what's the connection between having coffee in a chosen cup and the stress and tension of life. The professor continued further and explained, after seeing their curious faces, "Be assured that the cup itself adds no quality to the coffee. In most cases, it's just more expensive, and in some cases, even hides what we drink. What you really wanted was the coffee, not the cup. But you consciously went for the best cups, and then you began eyeing each other's cups, right? Now, always remember one thing. Life is coffee, and jobs, money, status, positions in society, and even love is the cups. They are just the tools to hold and contain life. The type of cup we have does not define or change the quality of life we live. Please don't let the cups drive you. Instead, enjoy the coffee." Now, I love this story because it clearly highlights how we put stress on ourselves by focusing on outside beauty and appearances, while the real quality and values lie inside of us. The happiest people in the world are not necessarily the richest people in the world. The happiest in the world don't have the best of everything. They just make the best out of everything. The richest people may have the finest cars, the largest homes, the biggest pools, and the greatest vacations. But that does not mean that they are the happiest people. Oh no, not at all. Don't let shiny things catch your eye, because underneath the shine may just be a tin plate. What's most important in our lives is what lives in our hearts, our values, our ethics, our compassion, our kindness, our gentleness. Material wealth does not guarantee happiness. Oh, it's nice to have money, to have a home, a car, clothing, and food, and even a washing machine that does not flood your den like mine does. But after that, money can become a burden. One of the wealthiest people I knew was a man who lived across the street from me in New York City. He had a studio apartment filled with junk and a cat hiding in the closet. I think he only had two sets of clothes, or at least that's what I remember. He would deliver newspapers on Sunday to the Brownstones for a quarter. Johnny was the happiest man I'd ever known. He always had a smile on his face, and he always laughed at the littlest of things. I would bring him into my house, especially in the winter, and let him warm up and give him some tea and listen to his stories. He was a black man raised in the South in the 40s and the 50s and was not treated very kindly by the white people down there. However, I never heard him complain. He told me wonderful stories about his life, and he reminded me how important it is to choose how we move through the world. He chose to move through the world with a smiling face. He did not let the anger the white people held for him get him down. So become like Johnny and smile at the world and laugh at the smallest of things and greet people with an open hand. That's why this month's inspiration is a smiling face. To view the world as a loving place, no matter what is in your pocket or how people may treat you. To embrace the coffee, not the cup. In other words, to embrace this world with a smiling face, just as Johnny did. And know what is in your heart is more important than what's in your pocket or how people may see you. Be a smiling face and understand that by sharing your loving heart, you're changing the world to become a better, more loving place to be for all of us. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
If you want a master class on how laws can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. In this month's spiritual homework, there's another component necessary for self-love, self-gratitude. In the past few months, I've discussed self-compassion, self-forgiveness, self-appreciation, and self-honesty. I'm now going to add self-gratitude to that list. Now, gratitude is described as the quality of being thankful and a readiness to show appreciation for kindness. Self-gratitude simply means you're doing the same thing as being thankful and a readiness to show appreciation for the kindness to yourself. I believe wholeheartedly that the key to self-gratitude is returning kindness to yourself. How many of us are actually kind to ourselves? How many of us are thankful for what we do for ourselves? And how many of us express gratitude to ourselves for the support we've given to ourselves? If a friend stands beside you during a tough time, you express gratitude for their support. But how do you express gratitude to yourself for supporting yourself during the tough times? I guess the real question is, do you support yourself during the tough times? Self-gratitude is different than self-appreciation. Self-appreciation means you appreciate who you are, what talent you may possess, what gifts you may have. Self-gratitude means you are grateful for what you do for yourself. Now, hopefully, we've all stood up for ourselves at different times in our lives. It could be a scary thing to do, but oftentimes it is vitally necessary. Are you grateful to you for doing that? For standing up and refusing to back down? Or do you just keep moving blindly forward? Self-gratitude is acknowledging the good things that you do for yourself. Now, this was a hard lesson for me to learn. Growing up with a bully in the family, we would often walk around on eggshells so as not to trigger an outburst or a fight. I would try to speak up, but my mom would shush me. So I learned very early that standing up for yourself is fruitless because someone will shush you from doing it. However, when working on returning back to self-love, this is one of the areas that I focused on intensely. Speaking up for myself was a natural state of being until I learned during childhood that it could cause problems, such as an outburst or a fight. What I did was to look backwards. I noticed the times that I did have the instinct to speak up, and I complimented myself, and I thanked myself for that driving force to be on my side. I practiced self-forgiveness, forgiving myself for not speaking up. And I cheered for myself the times that I did speak up, almost always for another person. Now here's a short story on gratitude. A blind boy sat on the steps of a building with a hat by his feet. He held up his sign which read, "I am blind. Please help." There were only a few coins in the hat. A man was walking by. He took a few coins from his pocket and dropped it into the hat. He then took the sign, turned it around, and wrote some words. Then he put the sign back in the boy's hands so that everyone who walked by would see the new words. Soon the hat began to fill up, and a lot more people gave money to the blind boy. Later on, the man who had changed the sign returned to see how things were going. The boy recognized his footsteps and asked, "Were you the one who changed my sign this morning? What did you write?" The man said, "I wrote the truth. I said what you said, but differently. I wrote, 'Today is a beautiful day, but I cannot see it.'" Both signs spoke the truth, but the second sign conveyed to everyone walking by how grateful they should be to see. Okay, back to the spiritual homework on self-gratitude. Just like the people who should be grateful they can see, how grateful are you for all the things you do for yourself? Are you grateful for going to a job that may not fulfill you, but feeds your family? Are you grateful for being kind to yourself when you experience failure or a serious mistake? Are you grateful to you for picking yourself up and beginning again when it would have been so much easier to give up? Are you grateful to you for finding the humor while in the midst of drama? How grateful are you to you? Now, you need to answer this question honestly so that you can add more gratitude to your life. This month's spiritual homework is to be grateful for yourself. Perhaps you need to look back in your life to the times you did something good for yourself, but forgot to be thankful for what you did. Maybe you spoke up for yourself. Maybe you loved yourself enough to say no to a toxic relationship. Maybe you were kind and nurturing to yourself when you were at your lowest point. These are the times you need to practice self-gratitude and say thank you to me for having my back and for being on my side. There is only one person who will go through your entire lifetime with you, and that is you. And how you treat yourself will determine what kind of life you have. So rather than looking at the things you did wrong, all the mistakes that you did, and all the not-so-loving actions that came out of your fear and pain, instead, make this month the month you decide to look back at all the things you did right, and then compliment yourself, cheer yourself on, and feel the deep joy that comes from self-gratitude. And then make a promise to yourself. Make an honest promise to yourself that from this moment on, when you are kind to yourself, when you have your own back, when you are loving or nurturing to yourself, you are going to thank yourself and be grateful for these loving actions. Self-gratitude is a powerful tool to reconnect you to your sense of self-love. It reminds us all that we should be grateful whenever we show love to ourselves. I'm Joffrey McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices, and it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Eclectic talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you got some inspiration, some information, and some spiritual homework that will move you forward. And please follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Also, check out my website at MySpiritualCommonSense.com. I have great blogs there, and you can read a little bit about my books on my website. I hope I've left you with some things that no longer serve you and picked up some things that celebrate you and who you are becoming. And remember, you are glorious, magnificent, and stunning in the universe's eyes, and have always been and will always be lovable, loving, and loved. Until next time, be the light the world needs and have love for all. This is Joffrey McClung for Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Have a joyful, loving, self-loving month.